Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Helix Sleep. Sleep is so important. I love to sleep. You love to sleep. But if you don't have the right mattress, you cannot sleep correctly. Helix Sleep has the best mattresses online, and it is super, super easy to get them. Okay? You go to helixsleep.com, you answer a few simple questions based on four key preferences, and the result will be a custom sleep profile used to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week. Shipping is 100% free, and Helix customers report a 30% improvement on overall sleep quality. Come on now. And here's the best part. You have 100 nights to try it out. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund after 100 nights if you don't love it. No questions asked. You just call them up and they'll come get it. Here's the deal for everyone here. Go to helixsleep.com/PMT. Get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/PMT. helixsleep.com/PMT. $50 off your order. helixsleep.com/PMT. Let's go.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. Today is Wednesday, August 31st. Teddy Bridgewater is out for the season. Thought he was going to die for a minute.
Did he not die?
He did not die. He's out for the season. And it is doom and gloom in Minnesota and for all Vikings fans, which we could have just said, we could have done this episode at any point in January and it would have been the same. But it's early this year. Doom and gloom. We feel bad. We actually are in Minnesota right now. Mm-hmm. We were planning on interviewing Teddy today. Mm-hmm. We had the interview all set. We're going to the Vikings facility and then boom. Non-contact, dislocated knee, ambulance, almost dies, doesn't die, but out for the season.
So really, the real victims in this situation are you and I.
Yes. So
because we're going to get great content
right.
by interviewing Teddy. Maybe Teddy was a little bit nervous about the interview tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Maybe slipped up, tried to do too much in practice today. Mm-hmm. Was thinking, you know, his mind was somewhere else. His mind was like, we got some capital J journalists coming in tomorrow.
They're going to ask the hard-hitting questions. Exactly. They're going to go there. They're going to go to the corners.
Maybe Teddy wasn't ready to go there.
Yep.
And so he kind of sabotaged himself a little bit. Who knows? But what's important to remember is that we are the real victims.
It is us and the award-winning listeners. We are the ones that were robbed here. Teddy's knee will heal someday. He will go back and play football.
But I'm never coming back to Minneapolis.
And we will never interview him. So let's take a moment of silence for Pardon My Take. Okay, that was perfect. And we all were sitting down for it, just a heads up. But here's what we're going to do. Because we are the nicest guys we know, not to compliment ourselves. We're going to do a little spin zone for Teddy Bridgewater and for the entire state of Minnesota, all of the Vikings fans out there. We're here to save you. Here we go. What do you got?
Right off the bat, it's kind of nice. You don't have to get your hopes up.
Yes.
It's vacation season
okay. For
Vikings fans. Like, you know, just relax. Kick your shoes up. You don't have to stress yourself out during the games. You get to kind of take it easy. Wear, you know what? Just like instead of going shirtless to the games, wear a Hawaiian shirt.
I actually love this point by you because I never get stressed going into the NFL season anymore. It's just like the Bears are going to stink.
Yeah,
they're gonna get my hopes up for a minute, then they're gonna crush them. So it's almost freeing. You know, you just kind of hang out. You can watch. You can focus on the Red Zone channel. You can watch all. Focus on your fantasy football team. You don't have to worry about the Vikings and home field for the playoffs and all that garbage. You're not going to be in it.
I just want to take away the stigma out there. If you're a Viking, actually, if you're just a football fan and you've got Teddy Bridgewater on your fantasy team, by the time you hear my voice, it is appropriate. You're allowed to complain about your fantasy team being ruined.
Yes.
You need to wait like 6 hours.
Yes.
And then at that point, you can just treat it like it's not an actual human being, and you can focus on your fantasy team. So I'm going to give you the permission to do that. Second thing, hey, Vikings fans, you don't have an excuse to miss church now, okay? So every Sunday, get your ass in the pew. I know you guys party hard, so you've got a lot of sins to atone for.
Yep.
So I'd like to see you guys spend some more time at the altar.
You lost Teddy Bridgewater, but you gained eternal salvation. So kind of a win, right?
That's a major spin zone right there. were you paying attention to like the updated reports as they kept adding new details and it kept getting worse and worse? And initially it was like, uh-oh, Teddy's down. Uh-oh, there's an ambulance here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, they're medicating him before he goes into the training room. He's crying. People are throwing up. It's like a scene from Outbreak out here.
Yeah. Okay, so spin zone on that. As someone who has gone through about 3 million Derrick Rose injuries, the way Derrick Rose used to always get injured, he would hurt himself, and then it would be really vague for a long period of time, and then his brother would say he's not playing, and the doctors would say he should play, right, and it would just be this confusion amongst the fan base. Guess what, guys? Teddy Bridgewater almost lost his leg today. So at least you have some clarity.
Well, for a while, I thought, like, okay, the next tweet from Ian Rappaport is going to be, like, Bridgewater's leg's gone, and it got carried off into the woods by some wild wolves. And they're trying to find the wolves and shoot them and bring it back.
It basically was the Monty Python skit when the guy's just getting every limb hacked
right,
off.
Right, so whenever I hear about an injury like this, it makes me think, like, are we ever just going to euthanize a player on the field? Like, if it's an old fullback,
you're
okay,
going to feel bad when that happens this year.
Well, no, I'm saying in the right set of circumstances. I'm not trying to be, not to be insensitive.
Okay.
But in the right set of circumstances, if it's an old fullback, let's say he's like 37, 38 years old, got a lot of miles on the legs, he's about to retire, and he lives and breathes for football,
mm-hmm,
breaks his leg gruesomely, I think a player like that would almost rather be euthanized on the field than have to live out the rest of their life. It's like Lieutenant Dan in,
yes,
Forrest Gump.
Should let me die out
he's
there.
He's yes, dying in the jungle. He, yeah, would get mad at Forrest Gump for carrying him out.
Yep.
So I'm just saying,
as long as they bring the curtain out that they bring for the horses.
The tarp, yeah.
Yeah. Here's another spin zone for you. I'm going to throw a few names out there. Number one, Joel Stave, winningest quarterback in the University of Wisconsin history. Okay? That's not for nothing. Here's a couple other ex-Norv Turner QBs who the Vikings could trade for. Ready for this?
Hit me.
Brian Hoyer, Brandon Whedon, Matt Castle, Christian Ponder. That is a nice buffet,
that is,
my friends.
That is a four-headed monster of shit.
Why not trade for two of them? Just say, what's up?
How about like have the saddest quarterback by committee of all time?
Yeah.
Okay, one is going to be your first down quarterback, one on second. Like Matt Castle, okay? He could be a fourth down. No, Brian Hoyer is your fourth down specialist.
I'd prefer Brandon Whedon, but yeah.
Well,
okay.
Hoyer is going to throw more interceptions, I think.
Right,
but,
right. Like punts, long punts.
Exactly. So he only plays on fourth down. I also think that it's a little bit of good fortune here on the Vikings' part because there are so many excellent backup QBs that are just freshly retired. There's like a pick
Kyle
of the litter
out there.
Kyle Orton, both
Brett
Orton,
Favre, just retired.
Grossman. Yeah. Tuiasosopo. I believe, like, he probably signed a contract.
Yep, Jamarcus Russell, mm-hmm, just retired from his last comeback. Here's a couple more names I'm going to throw out to you. Best available QBs, Tavarius Jackson, Rex Grossman, who pointed out it's not holiday season, so he's probably not fat yet.
Right.
Okay, that's a bonus.
Joe Webb.
Joe Webb, Matt Flynn, Charlie Whitehurst, a little guy I like to call Michael Vick. Ever heard of him? Austin Davis, who the fuck is that? Josh Freeman. Now, okay, now we're getting... Okay, all right. Now it's Jimmy Clausen. Now we're getting sad.
I want to back you up for a second.
All right, I'm sorry.
Do you remember that one... It was either a Sunday night or a Monday night football game where they brought in Josh Freeman?
Yeah, it was the worst game ever played by a quarterback.
That was amazing.
Yes.
That was... Holy shit, that was the perfect backup quarterback game.
I apologize to the Vikings fans. I started reading that list, and I didn't know the next names that were coming. So once it got to Austin Davis, Josh Freeman, Jimmy Clausen, I apologize. We'll cut that part.
Okay, we'll cut that out. One thing, though, to think about. This is kind of a situation.
Okay.
Maybe they should have paid Ragnar last year.
Oh, the curse of Ragnar.
Yeah, I'm thinking this might have something to do with that son of a bitch that would ride out on the motorcycle and blow the horn every day.
Not going to disagree with you.
His demands were pretty reasonable. It was like, what do you want, like a $1.3 million
contract?
It was
like $3 million over 10 years.
Yeah, that's...
to ride a motorcycle.
You know what? That's cheap. That's a small price to pay to not have your starting quarterback tear his ACL.
I bet you if they could go back in time and do that, they would have done it.
Ragnar, if you're a listener, I'm sure you are, give us a call.
Yeah.
Maybe you just didn't have the right agent.
Yeah.
We'll act as your representative.
I also think the Vikings could bring back the Wildcat. We've gone far enough where the Wildcat, like, defenses forget how to stop the Wildcat.
Bring in Tony Sperano
for
like 3 weeks.
Let's run the Wildcat with AP.
There you go.
Love that one.
I mean, you get AP out there and you get
play. You could put
Cordarrelle.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle.
Cordell.
Cordarrelle. I forget his
name. Patterson.
I mean, it once said it worked with McCoy.
Yes.
Ooh.
Way to
spoiler
alert on our interview coming
nice
up.
Hank. Way to spoil the show that we're currently doing.
I have a final one. The Timberwolves are going to be good. Tom Thibodeau is here to save you, Minnesota. So let's just – sometimes it's good to just be like, you know what? Cancel this entire season. We're just going to go on to the next one. And guess what? The next one's pretty damn good.
Also, Teddy was a little skinny. He could use a couple pounds to put on, right? A
couple pounds and learn the playbook. Norv's got a big playbook.
Right.
Everyone knows that.
Right. So
yeah.
This whole season, he's just on the couch eating M&Ms,
mm-hmm.
studying the playbook. So next year is actually the real Super Bowl year.
And next year when he comes back, it's like the best free agent signing of all time.
Yep. I love it. I think if you're a Vikings fan, you're probably pretty psyched.
Yeah. You're welcome. FEMA. So. That was part of my take, FEMA edition.
So.
We came here. We're on the ground. All right. So we just came from Vegas. If everyone's following along the Snapchat and the Twitter, the Milk Boys, which is our alter egos, you know, Bruce Wayne and Batman and Clark Kent and Superman. Well, we're the Milk Boys. We went and worked out. We did a CrossFit workout. Probably first time both of us have worked out in a long time.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel awful, right? Well, I'm still working out.
Yeah. So TJ Lavin, our friend TJ Lavin, his wife told us that when you work out very hard, your body still is working out 24 to 48 hours later. So when we're talking right now, we're also working out. When you're listening to this tomorrow,
still working out.
Still working out.
So, like, we went out, we got some pizzas to carb up.
Working out.
Got to have fuel for the workout.
Went to a buffet, working out during it.
We're still, we're pulling double. Like, earlier today, I was like, Hank, you think I can touch that cement rod above my head at the airport? And he was like, I bet you can't. I touched it, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. I'm working out while I'm working out.
So, fun facts about Vegas. Two things I learned. Well, actually, one thing I knew but forgot, and one thing I learned. The thing I forgot was Hank is a wild man on the blackjack table. Just no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. Impossible to play with him. And then, two, PFT, you're a slots guy, which kind of fits, but it's also crazy.
Well, it is. I fully admit it's a crazy move. I went down to the lobby, and I was looking for a blackjack table, and it just looked really depressing. Like, you have not seen depressing Vegas until you're in the Planet Hollywood at, like, midnight on a Monday, and it's just absolutely nobody there. So I hit the slots. Put in $100, got down to $8. Okay, hit my $4 spin, win $640.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. I couldn't win a bet the entire time we're there, and you're winning fucking $600 on slots.
But
like
then,
an old grandmother in Florida.
Yeah, but then we lost all that back basically.
Yeah.
So
true.
You know what they say about the weather in Vegas?
What do they say?
If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes.
I think that's the only place in the world you can't do that.
They don't say that in Vegas?
No, I think that's it right there.
In Vegas, people are just dealing with their own internal weather.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got? We're going to go to Mount Rushmore. You got any other things we want to talk about? Anything we need to air out? We're traveling as a team. I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, I think we're doing okay. We did some bro suite in the airport today, mm-hmm. which was nice.
Little bro suite.
Always a little treat.
Yep.
People looked at us like we were idiots because we were walking the wrong way on the sidewalk.
Idiots.
But guess what?
Idiots.
With Milk Boys.
In their defense, we are idiots.
Big Cat convinced me to throw $100 on the roulette right before we left.
Oh, yeah. And then we went, I should have done this. Hank and I have never won anything ever in our lives together. We both put $100 on red, double zero green, right in our face.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. And then the guy like was like, oh, yeah, that would have been 35-1.
Thanks, man.
Thanks,
dude. I lost my debit card.
Yes.
I got puke on my shoes.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty great weekend in Vegas.
Vegas, baby. It was wild. I went to sleep at like 9:30 every single night because I'm a washed up human being. All right, let's do our Mount Rushmore. It is going to be in honor of football season coming back. Football tailgate activities. Let's start with PFT.
Okay. Mount Rushmore of tailgate activities. Number one, I've got trading a Kiko Alonso jersey. It's always a good time. A
little inside joke for people who've been following along. Do you want to tell the inside joke so we don't leave everyone out?
I mean, I think people can figure it out if they're real football guys and girls. Basically, a guy traded a Kiko Alonso jersey for a little
blowjob.
I was trying to be delicate.
Blower.
Yeah, a little blower. Yeah,
a little hummer.
A little blue. Last year or 2 years ago up in Buffalo, made the national news.
It's a blue.
Number two, I've got filling up on chips.
Yes.
Okay, well, everybody's waiting for the grill to get going. You've got the standard, not wrinkle cut, just basic Lay's potato chips out there, and you eat way too many of them, and it makes your mouth all salty. Then you drink a bunch of beer, and you're full, and you don't have room to eat more than like one or two hamburgers.
Yep.
Big Cat just wrote that down.
No, I didn't. I fill up on chips anyway, dude.
You cribbing me, bro?
If I see chips, I'm filling up on chips. Don't worry. That's like breathing. I don't have to think about filling up on chips. It just happens.
Okay, number three, I've got forgetting the lighter fluid. Happens to me pretty much every time. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure this charcoal, it's got the lighter fluid already on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff doesn't really work anyways. So that's a big one for me, at least. And then number four is engineering ways to smuggle alcohol into the game.
Yes.
So
I'm
a huge proponent. Here's a little tip out there. Life hack. Tuck your jeans into your socks. You can fit like six beers down each pant leg.
That's very obvious, but okay.
I've never once been caught.
All right, I'll give my tip for that. You go the box, not who wears boxer shorts anyway? You wear boxer briefs, right?
Okay. I can do either or.
All right. So I go boxer briefs. So I'll get like a liter plastic bottle. You just put it in the front, boxer briefs, right where your private parts are. We're not going to say the D word on this show. And then you tighten up your belt, and no one's going to touch it over there.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Mine is you take a water bottle and you fill it with vodka, and then you suck out all the air. So it's like flat, basically. And then you do the same belt technique.
Oh.
I like that. Hey,
okay. That is all right.
Using
so that
physics
was good.
To your advantage.
Yep. Hank, why don't you go?
All right, Mount Rushmore. Number one, shotgunning a beer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great time. Tunes blasting.
Number two, drinking vodka out of the bottle.
Also good. Okay. Passing it around.
Cannonball coming at you.
Yep. And then when you get too drunk and you pretend to take a sip, and then pass it.
Yeah. So what's really good for that, you got to use a plastic bottle when you're doing the drink straight from it. If you use a glass bottle, it feels weird. Just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I'm usually always plastic. I'm not as high class as you, sorry.
Yeah.
Number three, making a mixed drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Little Bloody Mary. I don't like Bloody Marys, but I like Bloody Marys outside at a tailgate before 10 a.m.
I want to take this opportunity to talk about Bloody Marys real quick. I think if you drink a Bloody Mary after 3 p.m., you should probably be arrested or shot
Thank you.
Also, I'm big. This probably isn't a surprise to you guys, but I'm a big, I'll just eat the jerky and the snack sticks and the pepperoni.
No way.
I'll eat like seven of those with my Bloody Mary.
You think?
Yeah. So.
Number four is playing like one-handed football catch.
Yes.
Having a catch with the boys.
Yes. Bro. And maybe hitting a few cars.
Yep.
Throwing a couple kids. Actually, that's one of mine, so.
You know what one of the best feelings in the world is? If you remember your football, throwing the ball back and forth in the parking lot, you look at your neighbor's tailgate, and they're looking at you with envy because they forgot their ball at home, and they're like, man, I wish I could just get out there and, like old times. Here's a fun activity to do, too. If you have like a group of athletic people, toss them a ball and be like, okay, guys, only throw left-handed to each other. and watch them just like throw like absolute spazzes, like these big athletic,
like most, Tim Tebow,
the strongest people you can get, and just have them throw left-handed as hard as they can at each other. Just, it's a good laugh, trust me.
All right, so I'll go, and I'm actually going to go off of that last one. It's similar, but a little different. I like to intercept other people's footballs.
That's a good one.
That's a lot of fun. Just like walk in the tailgate lot and just start grabbing balls.
And then you do a little dance, like a little interception
yeah,
dance
yeah,
afterwards.
Right, and you throw it back. We have a little fun with it, you know? A little fun. Just let them know you're athletic, that you're always right. – it's like a free safety. You got to let them know you're there all day.
Yeah, exactly. Tell them, like, keep your head on a swivel.
Right. I have bags / flip cup. Both good games.
Bags, is that cornhole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bags, cornhole, same thing.
Okay.
Oh, technically, the name of it is Bago.
Bago.
I call them both. I go back and forth.
It's cornhole, but
– I call them both.
You code switch back and forth.
Yeah, I go back.
Gotcha.
I'm a code talker. I like one of my Mount Rushmore tailgate activities, telling the guy who's on the grill, asking if he needs help when he's basically done cooking everything.
Yeah.
So you kind of show like, hey, you need some help with those burgers, mm-hmm. but they've been done for
also,
a while.
Like when people are done cleaning up, hey, is there anything I can do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like backpedaling
nice.
Away.
Yeah, right. And then finally, getting too drunk and then going into one of the cars and looking at all the bets I've lost for the entire afternoon, and then just like half falling asleep.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I got
very relatable.
I got a bonus one.
Okay,
seeing the kicker's family walking through the tailgate lot
with the big pin.
Well, they've all. It's the only group of people that's like six deep wearing the kicker's jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you always see that
one. That's a good one too. All right, everyone, have fun out there. Send us your embrace your debate. I think we left this one wide open. I think there's going to be a lot of. Ones that we miss that people mm-hmm. are going to throw out there. You ever play that game with the hammer and the nails?
Yes, stumps.
That's a
yes.
great game.
Stumps.
That's a fucking game. Great game.
Never seen it in a tailgate.
Super dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you can incorporate hardware into mm-hmm. like a drinking event,
yep.
sign me up.
Yeah.
We should get one of those in the office. Just a big stump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Fresh. I also like the one last one I'll just throw out there, just sitting on the cooler. So then, and then every time someone's like, can I get a beer? And you're like, fine. But like it's a big ass.
It's a conversation starter.
Right, and it's a big ass, so you seem like a hero. You're
that's
like, fine, I'll stand up.
That's what
for
I
a
like
second.
To do. If you see like a cute chick that you want to talk to, just like scoot a cooler next to her, sit on it and wait for her to ask you.
Yeah,
for a beer.
Ask for
boom,
what's in there.
You're in.
All right, let's this works. Tailgating. You gotta go to the game. How are you gonna get to go to the game?
That's a great question, Dan. This was actually a great segue on your part. I'm shocked. I want to talk to you guys about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is awesome. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts, it's always been a confusing process. It's hard to find the best deal for the game or show you want to go to, and none of the older ticket sites want to change that at all. But guess what? SeatGeek is different. They've come along. They've made it so easy. They've created an amazing app and website. Makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I was just talking to Dan the other day, and I was like, hey, man, you know, I was at Chris Bryant's first game, and he was like, oh, I was there too. How'd you get tickets? Like, I couldn't get tickets to Wrigley. It's pretty easy. You just go to SeatGeek, okay? They hook you up, give you a great seat, low, low price. Everything about it is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. They do all the price comparison for you because they search multiple ticket sites to ensure you get the best possible deal. They do all the work, and you save the time and the money. And best of all, we're going to hook you guys up. We're going to give you – see, some of the other deals that we have, they're great – but this one is the only one where you're going to get a $20 check sent to you. We're going to put money in your hand. So here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. You click add a promo code. Enter promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E. Then they're going to send you a $20 check in the mail. Nothing like getting an extra check in the mail.
Mm.
Everyone, you're the talk of the town. When you get that, you open it up. They're like, oh, dude, it's not payday. What's that check from? SeatGeek. Oh, no big deal. My good friends, PFT Commenter and Big Cat, just sent me $20. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code TAKE today.
All right. Let's go to our interview. I have half a slice of pizza in my throat. I did not plan that well. I thought I could eat a whole slice of pizza during your SeatGeek ad. Usually I probably could, but I was a little slow tonight. Let's go to our interview with Dave Wonsett. Great interview. Some really funny stories. Just a heads up, of course we had some Skype issues because we always have Skype issues, but Hank is a great producer, so he fixed almost all of them. If it skips just a little bit, that's why. We know. Sorry. It will all be fixed when we are in the office in 5 days. All right, we now welcome on Fox College and NFL analyst Dave Wannstedt. Coach, we're going to call you Coach, by the way, throughout this entire interview, because we're football guys. Coach, let's start from the top with college football coming up week one. Give me your game that you have to watch.
The game that I have to watch is, obviously we're going to do the Stanford game Friday night. So that'll probably be the first one I watch. I want to check out Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's in a lot of polls, the front runner for the Heisman. Honestly, I think if they would have got enough national exposure early last year, he may have won the Heisman. So I'm anxious to see that one. But on Saturday and the rest of the weekend, I picked LSU to win everything. So I want to see what they do against Wisconsin up at historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
All right, so you just said LSU. So give us – you have your Final Four prediction, and LSU is your national champion.
Okay. I got it.
All right, let's hear it.
I like Ohio State. Remind me a lot of our 86 University of Miami team, Hurricanes. We had Vinny Testaverde at quarterback. We had 12 players drafted. Ohio State had 12 players drafted. Everyone thought that we were doomed the next year, and we came back in 87 and won the national championship. I like Clemson. I like Clemson for obviously Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, but I like Clemson for more than Deshaun Watson. They've got great receivers. They got a heck of a running back, and their defense is better than people think. I like Oklahoma. They're the most talented team in the Big 12. Offense, defense, special teams. They have Oklahoma State and Baylor both at home. Stoops has been there, I think, with the quarter combination of Baker Mayfield throwing it, Mixon and Perine running it. They have as good a 1-2 punch as anyone. I like Oklahoma. And my final team, and the winner is LSU. I think LSU wins it. If you talk about, everyone's on Alabama. I'm not against Alabama, but if you look at LSU's recruiting classes and Tennessee, okay, and you compare them with Alabama, Alabama's 1 or 2. These guys are 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, there's really – there's not that much difference. Right. It's a matter, a kid develops, puts on 20 pounds. If he gets in that workout program that you guys were doing yesterday, just think how good he can be, right?
They need to drink more milk before they work out and smoke cigarettes. I'm telling you, that's the key. Coach.
And change the cigarettes to cigars. That would make a huge difference.
Yes. And inhale the cigars too, right?
Okay.
Got to make a note here. Cigars are actually paleo and cigarettes aren't. So yeah. I'll make a note.
Absolutely. So I kind of like LSU. They got 8 starters back on offense and defense. And, they got the best running back in the country, Leonard Fournette. And I think this Brandon Harris, the quarterback, and then the secret weapon, they hired the defensive coordinator from Wisconsin. And the guy, keep an eye on him. I think he'll make the difference. That's why I like LSU.
From your advice there, I'm taking LSU 8-1 to win the national title.
Okay, I like it. You know what? And I'll tell you a little LSU story. I'm coaching now, I'm at the Buffalo Bills. And we drafted this linebacker, Calvin Shepard, kind of third round. And so I'm sitting there, I'm coaching him, and we're talking. And I said, what was the most exciting time in your career at LSU? And he said, we were flying back from a game on the plane, and the pilot announced that Pitt upset West Virginia. And that put LSU championship game.
Right.
And he said the entire plane went crazy. So he's going on and on with the story. Now, keep in mind, he's got no clue that I was the coach at Pitt. And so he tells the whole story. And then at the end, I said, well, that must have been, Pitt must have done a great job that day, to beat West Virginia. And he says, oh, yeah, I guess so. That was, long story short, we put them in the game.
Right. So we actually had Pat McAfee on the show on Monday. Would you like to apologize to him?
No. He had his chances. You know what's crazy about that game? We had a freshman quarterback, and we had LeSean McCoy was our tailback, Shady. Mm-hmm. I recruited Shady out of Harrisburg High, and our quarterback threw an interception early, and I told our offensive coordinator, I said, I've seen enough of this. Let's go to our version of a wildcat, put Shady at quarterback, hike him the ball, and forget about it. 43 carries later, 3 broken ribs, we beat West Virginia. Crazy.
And did you ever think that that same guy would be throwing orgy parties someday where everyone had to sign a waiver? Good kid.
When he was at Pitt, he wouldn't know. That's what happens when you go to – where was he at, Buffalo?
Yeah, he was in Buffalo. Now a lot goes on in Buffalo, so you got to throw those kind of parties.
You get bored. Yeah. You have a females-only thing.
He's going to have a great year. Take him on your – while I'm telling you picks, I'm going to tell you another pick. Take LeSean McCoy on your fantasy team.
Okay.
Is it bounce-back year for him?
He was a mess last year. Philly was his home, right? He had all his boys there. Now he goes to Buffalo. I mean, I talked to him several times. I think he's got a new attitude. It's beyond him. Chip Kelly's gone. You know, everything's have changed. I look for him to have a big year.
Okay.
All right, Coach, I'm going to take you back real quick to your playing days, and then we can get back into some coaching stuff. But I read on your Wikipedia page that you were on the Packers practice squad in 1974. Do you remember a guy named Randall Woodford?
Randall Woodford. Give me a position.
I think he was a tight end. I believe that was his one offseason that he played on the Packers practice squad.
Well, you know, I didn't get to know. I'll tell you what happened. I tore up my neck. I actually had surgery after the last preseason game. It was against the Dolphins in Miami. And then I was on had surgery. And then it was kind of funny because the doctor that operated on me, I read every Lombardi book, you know, and Jerry Kramer, all the famous Packers of the day, the 70s. And so I'm laying on the table, and the doctor that operated on me is the same one that operated on Jerry Kramer. And so it was, God, having surgery was as big a thrill as playing.
Right.
Right.
The reason why I ask is because that guy, Randall Woodford, he was on the Packers practice squad that offseason. And then he left the team and went on to become a serial killer. He was the I-5 serial killer.
Come on.
Dead serious.
Yeah.
So look into that. Maybe if you see a picture of the guy, it might ring a bell. Maybe you guys had a couple beers one night and he got weird and you were like, okay, Randall, I'm done with you. Check it out.
Thank God I didn't say, yeah, we were roommates. Right. I thought I would have responded that way.
Right. And another fun fact, the NFL never suspended him. So we're still looking for justice in that respect. He's never been officially suspended.
Yeah. The year I was there, that was Dan Devine's last year. Yeah, that was a tough year. Yep.
All right. Just through your coaching days real quick, you coached some of the most famous teams, some of the best teams, 92 Cowboys, 87 Miami Hurricanes, 2009 Pitt, 98 Bears. What was the best team you coached?
The best team, you know, and probably the most talented team and the fun team was, if you remember, I lost one game my whole coaching career at the University of Miami, and we go to the Dallas Cowboys, and they're going to fire us. We go 1-1 our first year. I mean, they're legitimately going to run us out of town. And 3 years later, we're playing for the Super Bowl. I mean, that was probably as big a professional, any sport, turnaround as fast is what anyone's experienced. I would say, and we were talented, but we were also, this is the key, we had no Pro Bowlers on our defense, and we were the youngest team in the National Football League.
That
was neat.
Which city was more fun to party in, the 80s in Miami or early 90s in Dallas? That's like two Hall of Fame eras.
Dallas was a little more football-wise. You know, Miami back then was tough to beat. You know, I love Miami. I live in Florida now. I mean, that's my residence. I mean, you know, you can always find something not fun to do in Miami. That's for sure. You know, it was quite a run that we had there, and had some, you know, Vinny Testaverde and Benny Blades and Jerome Bryan. We had some great players. Lonzo Highsmith. Yeah.
Was it tough going from the University of Miami to Dallas, and now all of a sudden you have to deal with a salary cap?
Yeah, but you know what? The salary cap wasn't that big a deal back then. We didn't mean, and we were so young. You know, Jimmy went in there, Johnson, and pretty much. I remember my first meeting. We walk into the Dallas Cowboys. I'm the defensive coordinator. I think I was 36 years old, and there were four players in our defensive meeting that were older than I was. I mean, Randy White was in there, Emerson Walls, Michael Downs. You know, I don't know. No one knows it to this day, and he played for us for a year, did a great job, how old Too Tall was, Ed Too Tall Jones. So that was kind of an all-one Super Bowls with Tom Landry.
What, was Charles Haley as crazy as everyone says he is?
You know what? Charles Haley, I remember when we made the trade for him on a Monday before our opener. We opened up with the Redskins. I believe it was a Sunday night national TV game in Dallas. Charles came in and, you know, he played in that game. I mean, he didn't start, but we used him in third down. You know, he was one of the better practice players. And as crazy as this sounds, when practice was over, he'd stay out there with the young players. I remember him working with Leon Lett and some guys that we had at the time. I mean, Charles was great. I never he did get a little worked up. We went out and played the Niners for the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. And it had rained that field out there in San Francisco, the old one. It was, you know, they get that red mud clay, and it's a mess. And they must have run the one running play 15 times in a row, seriously, right at him. And I don't know, we went in at halftime, and the guy that played the same position on the other side of the line, his jersey was as white as my shirt. And Charles Haley was covered from mud, you know, and that was Charles. I mean, he was vocal, he was emotional, but shit, we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl without him.
Did Michael Irvin ever try to come at you in a barbershop?
No, he never did. But I was with Michael at the University of Miami, and I used to always try to talk Jimmy Johnson into moving Michael to linebacker. I thought he could play linebacker. I mean, he before the game, he'd be back in his locker, and he'd be, you know, you'd think he was in a fight half the time. He'd be screaming and yelling. There'd be noise, and he'd just be talking to himself. I mean, it was the best. I mean, but I'll tell you what, every practice, every game, you never, ever had to worry about Michael Irvin being ready to compete and play.
What was it like being in personnel meetings with Jimmy or Jerry Jones?
Well, early on, it was good, you know? I mean, you know, because early on, Jerry was put his heart and soul and every dime he had, truly, into making that franchise go. And Jimmy handled all the personnel. So it was good. And then the same old story. Once we started having success and Jerry started having his press conferences and Jimmy was having his, and, you know, everybody's getting more involved in the draft. And I never had a problem with Jerry, to be honest with you. And, you know, Jimmy ran things, and we wouldn't have got the players we did if Jerry didn't respect that early on. And now it's changed now. Once Jimmy left, the whole scenario changed, you know.
Moving it to Chicago and the Bears. So obviously you took over for a Hall of Fame coach and Coach Ditka. What was it like to fill those shoes? And do you have any advice for Chip Kelly taking over for Jim Tomsula this year?
Yeah. You know, where Jim Tomsula, he's from the mill towns back in Pittsburgh, where I'm from and Mike's from.
Yeah.
See, you guys just
Yinzers, a couple Yinzers.
Yes, a couple of Yinzers. You know what's funny about Mike? Because we were, you know, I'm saying this humbly, but I had several opportunities that year to become a head coach. And I remember when I was a kid, and so I'm looking at the different teams, his dad worked at the same steel mills, J&L Steel, that my dad did in Pittsburgh. Mike was on the other side of the river. Mike ended up going to Pitt. I went to Pitt. So, you know, I would go back to Pittsburgh even when I was coaching at the U, and at USC and places, and play. He had a golf tournament that he raised money. So Mike and I had a little bit of a relationship. So I remember when we were the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to play the Bears in the playoffs. You guys will like this story. We walk out there for warm-ups, and both teams are kind of running and catching. And I'm standing there talking to a couple of the other coaches, and I said, does anybody smell a cigar burning? And we said, yeah, you know. And so we're looking around, and we're walking out. Now we're standing, and on the other side of the field, with his arms folded, with a big Churchill cigar in his mouth, Mike had a big stogie. It was fired up, and this was during pregame warmups. And I remember saying to myself, wow, this guy's pretty much untouchable here.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't say anything to him, right?
No, we just didn't say a word.
That's a football guy.
That's a football. Another football guy that you coached with was one of my favorite coaches, Greg Schiano. Were you a Schiano man? And what is the definition of a Schiano man?
You know what? I hired Greg from Penn State to come to on my staff at the Bears. I can't remember the year, 95, maybe 96, something like that. And Greg Schiano man would probably be somebody that knows that. I mean, the guy's really smart. You know what I mean? First of all, I mean, he's very intelligent and tireless worker. You know, everything is to the extreme. I mean, everything is to the extreme that he does. But Greg is the person. You know, Greg is a good man. I mean, he's a great family man, and he was loyal to me. I was up at Buffalo, and when the thing blew up there with Chan Gailey, Greg was at Tampa, and Greg called me, and he said, you know what, as long as I got a job, you got a job. You want to come to Tampa and help me do this and this and this? So I went up there with him for a year.
I love it. That is a Schiano man. Do you think that America lost its way when the mustache went out of style?
Well, the tattoo probably replaced the mustache, you know?
Yeah.
That's a great sad. Point.
That's a great right? point.
That's I mean, great. It's amazing. And I'm tattoo free, but yeah, my mustache is so bad. It's amazing. But every time I try to fix it, it gets worse. So
No.
It's kind of a trademark. Maybe is it a Pittsburgh thing? And then it was a Chicago thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you ever, like, you obviously work with Matt Leiner on the set of Fox.
Yes.
Do you, like, ever kind of give him a stare, like, I'm a real man, you're just a pretty boy face from California?
You know what? Matt's great. Last year was our first full-time working together, and our personalities clicked. You know, I coach at SC. Obviously, he played there. We both got some NFL backgrounds. We know people. We have a fun time together. But Matt, oh God, no! You know Matt Leinart in Southern California. I mean, the guy's got a lot of things going on. If he want, could have a lot of things.
Right, he could be on any number of reality shows right now.
Yes,
like
he could.
You name it.
Yes, I think he is. I saw him in a pizza commercial. He's branching out a little bit.
There you go. Here's a good question for a football guy, because you've spent your entire life basically in a locker room, either playing or coaching, and now you're an analyst. You've been around the game. If you were to take one job that has nothing to do with football or sports and start it right now for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One job that had nothing to do with sports, you said?
Nothing at all.
Football. I would probably – let me think on that one there. I think I would try to do something in politics.
Oh, that's okay. Actually a very football guy answer. Football, you know, guys go to politics.
I really believe that I could, you know, with as many issues that we're dealing with right now in our country, you know, I really think that I could get in the middle of some of those issues and rally some people to funnel all of our energies in one direction.
Just grab some senators by the face mask and tell them what's what. Day one, Dave wants that. President wants that of the United States. What's your agenda for the first 8 hours?
What's my agenda? Oh, God. Well, I would say have some meetings with the people that are there and get informed what's going on.
that's actually a pretty good answer.
That's a really good answer.
I mean, that's when you take over a head coaching job. You sit down with the people who are there. I always thought you never go in there and just, you know, clean everybody. Hey, sit down, listen to the people that are there, have been through it, and then make some decisions.
All right. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, I got one more question. It's kind of along the politics line. We're going to get a little serious real quick. Colin Kaepernick's been in the news, obviously, for his refusing to stand for the national anthem. If you were a coach of Colin right now, how would you handle that situation specifically with the rest of your team and with Colin himself?
Well, I don't think I would do anything from a team standpoint. You know, I would just be honest with you, just probably call him in and just say, hey, listen, you know, you know that the reaction out there, good and bad, and hey, you have a right to do and say what you want to do, but, you know, there's a lot of different ways that I think you can get your point out. Just think it through and, you know, don't waver off what you believe, but just think about how you go about it.
That's actually maybe the best answer I've heard for this entire thing.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a football guy who could be a politician.
Yeah.
Right there. That's that answer.
He's keeping the doors open.
Yeah, like keep it. That door just a little bit. Like the Dicka, whenever Dicka says that he could have kept Obama out of the presidency. He Dicka has that line that he likes to throw out there.
Oh, you know what? Well, yeah, I remember seeing that on TV when he was going to run, or they were asking him to run. And he said no. I remember that. He
sliding doors.
Yes, that's how things happen.
All right. Well, we're
I'm thinking more mayor of Naples.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
That's not bad. A little lower scale, you know?
Ooh, I like that. So maybe wet your beak a little. Yeah.
A town of about 1,000 people.
Become a warlord of Naples. Yeah. I like that. Just eye off the hog.
Take a little this, little that, you know? Someone could put something in your pocket. That's fine. We're not going to talk about it. It's Florida. No one cares. You know that from Miami days, right?
Well, we care. Come on.
You know, grease the wheel.
What about winning championships?
There we go. All right, so we end every interview with two final questions. The first is the most famous person in your cell phone.
Oh, wow. In my cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking Ditka. We talked Jerry Jones. We talked Jimmy Johnson.
Ooh, you want to call Jerry?
I mean, it's Matt Leinart.
Ooh.
Who you know? Tony Dorsett. You know, I don't know. Unfortunately, most of them are football related or sports related.
You want to call one of them?
You want to talk to Leinart?
Yeah, we'll talk to Leinart. Yeah, we'll talk to Matt Leinart.
All right, let me see if I got to talk to him anyway about this weekend.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Let me see if he – although what time is it?
We're at 9 o'clock,
so he's probably going to bed.
Yep.
Hey, he just got engaged. He's getting married.
That's very disappointing news.
All the more reason. Live it up.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging.
Should we leave you a message?
Matt, coach. Hey, I'm on with Barstool Sports. You know, I got my guys right here on the podcast.
Hey, Matt, what's going on, man? Congrats on the engagement. I was just wondering if Vince Young's going to get invited to your wedding. Probably want to make a shirt policy if you do that. Maybe like a dress policy. Got to keep your shirt on.
Hey, Matt, it's PFT Commenter right here. I've got Big Cat next to me. He actually looks a lot like you, except with a few extra pounds. We call him Fat Leinart. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
Matt. You got to go on with these guys, okay? They got it on Travis and all those guys. So I'm just passing on a good word for them. See you, buddy.
Awesome. All right, final question. Question I'm going to ask. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. When you took over for the Bears after Coach Dicka got fired, were there like a bunch of cigars sitting in his office, like half chewed cigars, maybe a little fart smell in his chair? Steaks in the fridge. Like, what was the state of his office?
All I'm going to tell you is I walked into the office and I walked over. We had a nice corner office that overlooked Lake Forest College. And I walk over to the glass windows and I couldn't see out. They were so smoke screened that it was unbelievable. The first thing I did was replace the windows. And I had never seen anything that was smoke stained.
That's incredible. He frosted a window just through like 9 years of cigar smoke. That's incredible.
That's the best.
No unfinished cigars, but a lot of
a lot of smoke. Love it.
A lot of
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for doing this. This was a blast. You are now an official recurring guest, so you're going to be expected to come back on at some point.
I'll do it again, and I will pass on to Matt Leinart, okay?
So perfect.
Follow up with him. I don't know how you do that, but I'll see him tomorrow, and I'll talk to him.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much, Coke.
See you guys.
See ya.
That Dave Wannstedt interview was brought to you by DraftKings.com. DraftKings Week 1 is coming up, guys. It is really close, and we have a $5 million in total prizes. $1 million top prize. Super easy to play. You go to DraftKings.com. You sign up for that 1 week fantasy. So if you screw up, guess what? Next week you got a new chance and you get it going. Like I said, $5 million in total prizes. And it's really easy to do. You just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Best way to go on a Sunday. Sit on the couch, follow those guys. Win some money. So hurry up, go to DraftKings.com right now, choose your players, and you're ready to cash week one. Use code BIGCAT, B-I-G-C-A-T. Play for free with your first deposit. That's code BIGCAT, B-I-G-C-A-T. Play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. All right. You know what? Wannstedt might be the most football guy that we've talked to.
I'm shocked that when I asked him like what career he would be in right now, he didn't just say like, I'm actually considering moving to Pittsburgh and just getting in a steel mill.
You could see his head like get put in a pretzel for a second.
I thought he was going to go to like, I would love to like cut the grass on football stadiums. Right.
What was great about that though, like when I asked him that, he had to think for about 10 seconds because he honestly had never considered that question ever before in his life. So total football guy, now recurring guest of the podcast. And one thing about Dave is he has a connection to every single football coach.
Ever.
He's been coaching that long. Like before the show, he was like, oh, who are you guys going to talk to up in Minnesota? And yeah. We said, I don't know, we might talk to Norv. He goes, oh, I know Norv from these 8 jobs that I work
for. I'm Norv's kid's godson.
Yeah. Yeah. Football guys are real big, like, godfather guys.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're all each other's godparents. I've heard that, like, 8 times.
Right. I bet you Bill Parcells has, like, 75 godsons.
Yeah. Bill Parcells is like, oh, yeah, I held Bill Cowher's son's knees when he got circumcised. Jesus. Funny story.
Funny story. Love to tell that one.
Rabbi did an awful job.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some segments. We have a new one. As a white guy, this one, first of all, great title by you.
Well, it's just it's important sometimes because white males are kind of underrepresented, mm-hmm. especially in the sports talk.
Yes. Most persecuted people on Twitter.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like it's important to create a safe space for us. So, introducing this new segment, I felt it was appropriate to talk about Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
So, Rodney Harrison said earlier today that he didn't think that Colin Kaepernick was black enough to complain about being discriminated against. As a white guy, Rodney Harrison is, frankly, appropriating white culture by determining who is and isn't black enough to be discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that white people have been doing for a very long time.
And we do it well.
So I think that Rodney needs to kind of stay in his lane on this one.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know who wasn't black enough?
Who? That's true.
So maybe that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That joke was bad.
No, I
because that,
I got
I just realized what I said. That didn't work.
What's the problem with it? I thought it was very intelligent. Okay. As a white guy, I just want to say that it's okay sometimes to try to make these jokes and miss.
Yeah, true, because you know what? Everyone's going to forgive me as a white guy.
There you go.
And that was our new segment, As a White Guy. That I think that one's going to be a keeper. I think that one's going to be a keeper. all right. We have a Sabermetrics update. I wanted to quickly update the Praying Mantis boys, Kansas City Royals, now 18-4. Since the Praying Mantis started living in the dugout. I want to actually, though, talk about one thing. Hank wants to kill that Praying Mantis.
I don't want to kill it. I'm just saying it'd be a real shame.
Yeah, if someone, not a threat guy,
snuck into their their dugout and dropped a match in there and watched the what's it, a terrarium?
You don't have to light it on fire to kill it,
Jesus
dude.
Jesus Christ, man. Let it go peacefully. Just stomp on it. Yeah. It's a fucking, it's like a bug. It's a big grasshopper.
Maybe just spray some Axe bug spray in there.
Jesus.
I mean, some Axe body spray.
Hank, though, was so serious when we were watching Sunday Night Baseball. It was Royals Red Sox. And the Royals went up and they started kissing their praying mantis. And he just turned to me. He's like, would be a real shame if something happened to that praying mantis.
What's funny is Hank had the same conversation with me independently. So, like, this is hot on Hank's mind.
What he's
right
doing
now
is testing the water. Yeah. Like, what would happen if I killed this praying mantis?
Yeah. Well,
the thing is, like, most mascots are, it's like a teddy bear or something that's not, like, but something that's living. And, you know, if you're trying to get rid of their mojo, that's a direct correlation.
I'll tell you what.
I'm just saying.
You get a father-son White Sox fan combo out there.
Ooh, take that thing right out.
You know
out.
What? Boston's gotten soft. Chicago fans would have taken that fucker out a long
just
time.
Just put it right behind first base.
Yeah.
Would have taken him out. Well, you have a sabermetrics for us.
I do, yeah. This comes actually from friend of the program, Blake Bortles. He dropped some crazy sabermetrics in his post-game interview on Sunday. It was after we taped Sunday's show. So I want to make sure to include it here. His sabermetrics, he quantified precisely how the Jaguars played. He said,
well, we played pretty bad. You know, I don't think they did a whole lot of things to stop us. We played pretty bad at every position, and usually that's what happens when you play bad. You don't score a lot of points.
So Blake's a big eyeball guy. He's a big eyeball test
gut
guy.
Test.
Gut check. Yeah. So, in other words, the Jags, they failed the eyeball test.
Yes. I saw the clip, and I just sat there and I said, you know what? There's not another person on this green earth that I would rather have running our Wikipedia club.
Absolutely.
Because that is straight and to the point.
Absolutely. In the NFL, you're either good or you're bad.
Right. And if you're bad, you're probably not going to score.
If you're good, you're going to win more often than you don't.
Right.
If you're bad, the opposite's going to happen.
Yeah. If you're bad, the other team will probably end up putting more points up on the board than you.
The Browns. Okay, perfect example.
All right, no, give me a test. Give me a test. Yeah.
The Browns have been bad for a long time.
Okay.
They haven't won anything. They haven't won a Super Bowl ever.
Titans been bad. Last year, I think they won two games, good or bad?
Bad.
Correct.
All right, one more. Raiders.
Fuck.
They're okay.
I don't know. They're okay. Yeah, they're okay.
There's
okay.
A third category.
Okay, right. They're okay. Yeah. I was going to say, that one twisted me up a little bit. They're okay. All right. We have another segment that we introduced last week. If you don't remember it, Peter King ate the trash again. So Peter King, every now and then, he gets his snout in the trash, starts digging around and eats all the trash, tweets something out that's really stupid, and the entire internet flips out on him. So this one, actually, he didn't eat the whole trash. He just ate like a chicken wing off the top.
He got some sauce on his nose.
Yeah, and then maybe got a newspaper on the snout. Like, Peter, don't do that. He tweeted this. Talk to Parcells regarding Bridgewater, who he knows. Plus, Zimmer is one of Parcells' mentors. Parcells on Teddy Bridgewater. I know this kid. Tremendous qualities as a human being. So how that relates to a knee injury.
Just talking about, like, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So
good guy. I think what this means is that good guys, you should feel worse when something bad
yes.
happens to them.
Okay.
So now I actually do. It had its intended effect on me. Mm-hmm. So now I feel bad about all the shit that we talked about the Vikings early because Bill Parcells. But, okay, now I'm actually thinking about this. If you consider the source on this one. Bill Parcells says you're a good guy. Bill Parcells also said your record is, you are what your record says you are.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater, he's not going to have a single win this year.
He's 0-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's okay.
Also,
not good.
Peter King, interesting that you would say Teddy Bridgewater is a good guy. That doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame, according to Peter King, correct?
That's right. It has nothing to do with that. So
didn't he once say that he would vote like Tracy Porter? Or not
no, he
Tracy
said
Porter,
he would vote for Darren
Sharper. Into
yeah.
the
that,
Hall of Fame.
That was a classic Peter yeah. King eats the trash
Not a
moment.
Good guy. Yeah. Darren Sharper, not a good guy. But guess what? Doesn't matter for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there you go, eat the whole trash.
Peter. Yeah, his goodness is irrelevant.
Keep that snout out of the trash, Peter. Come on. That was like a little...
What I love is you can tell like how many Hefeweizens Peter has had based on his tweets. You know, we're getting into like 8:30, 9 p.m. Maybe he's gotten a little nuts. He's had a couple blue moons.
He's sniffing the trash.
The
Allagash
white is flowing like water.
Yeah.
And yeah, he starts to sniff around. And you can almost be like, yo, Peter, back up. Something bad's going to happen. Call it a night.
It's like when you're sitting on your couch and you don't know where your dog is and you yell your dog's name and they come running from the kitchen and you're like, okay. What were you doing?
Or your dog doesn't respond at all. Yeah,
that's like, Peter. That's Peter when he gets his tweet brain going. Yeah. It's like, okay, where were you now, Peter?
He gets on a roll.
Sniff of that trash. All right, we now have thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers to the sun. You know that big thing in the sky every day? Guess what? He got a beatdown from Tim Tebow today. Tim Tebow had his tryout for the Major League Baseball teams. Skip Bayless was there to live tweet. Let's connect the dots. And he said, remember, Tebow took flies in center looking into a hellacious sun. Did not bobble or miss one.
Damn.
Thoughts and prayers, son.
Name me one baseball player that has defeated the sun.
People forget the sun sometimes comes out during baseball games.
Right. Guess who else is a star? Tim Tebow. So Tebow's got a war of one... of one right now over the sun, right. Sabermetrically.
Right.
So, honestly, I know we talk about Tebow and how it's fun to have him just around. Like, if Tebow's in the conversation, it makes our jobs a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Cubs uniform. Not
a lot of day games.
Not to play.
A lot of day games.
There you go.
We play a lot of day games, and we know that Tebow can beat the sun.
He can beat the sun. There's that. Also, just like having him as your praying mantis. Like, you're good. We said on the show the other day, every team needs a good luck charm. If you like Tebow, you build him a little terrarium in the corner of the dugout, so he just kind of stays there. You put some grass clippings down there. You throw, like, a Filipino orphan in every couple days, like an uncircumcised one, just to keep him occupied. And you just kind of let Tebow be the guy that brings you all the magic.
I think that's a great idea. We do need – the Cubs do need to work on their magic good luck charm if they're going to want to make a full run in October. Also, quick shout out to David Ardsma, who was pitching to Tebow. Turns out that's where you go when you just suck really bad. You throw to Tim Tebow, and Tebow actually took him yard, which is super embarrassing. But
was Ardsma throwing junk, or was he just like grooving?
No, he was trying. Chad Smith struck or didn't strike him out, but had him off kilter. I think Tebow hit 1 out of 20 against Chad Smith, and then he had a lot better success against David Ardsma.
That's not bad, right? One out of 20?
Yeah, it gets you in the Hall of Fame if you do the same metrics right.
If you're a good pitcher.
That's right,
nice spin, Hank.
Why didn't Tebow get on the mound? Put him on the bump.
I heard his throwing was not the best.
No, yeah. Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what Tim Tebow will be for the rest of his life?
A virgin.
Okay, maybe that. Guy who looks good in shorts. Yes. He always looks good in shorts.
Tebow looks good coming off the bus.
Yes. Tebow put like one of those skin tight Nike active gear, like the ones that they sell the Marines, but not really. And then they're like, here, wear this.
Totally unnecessary, right?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing a baseball workout in just compression?
And baseball pants. Why was he wearing baseball pants? Just wear shorts, dude. You're just hitting.
Right, he's got the stirrup socks
on. He's the jerk who shows up in softball with baseball pants and batting gloves. Everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy's problem?
He's wearing a belt.
I was surprised he was a batting glove guy.
Yeah.
He seems like
a
natural guy.
Yep.
Like a Moises Alou, pee on your own hands type guy.
All right, finally we have spoilers. We promised we'd bring this back. It's been a while. Football movie spoilers. You ready to go?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start with Remember the Titans. So, Remember the Titans, spoiler alert, they end racism.
Yes.
So.
And Coach Yost doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Hank.
Segment's called spoilers, not bummers.
Yeah. All right, I'll go because Hank's got to think of a new one on the fly, which should be interesting. Point Break.
Sports movie, huh?
Football movie. Johnny Utah.
Okay. Stretching the definition a little
bit. Bodie went to chase Johnny Utah, chased Bodie down, handcuffed him, then let him go, chase that big wave, and then Bodie died.
That's not necessarily true.
Yes, not at all. You never see Bodie's dead body.
Okay, so Bodie then just
Bodie
paddle boarded to Australia.
No, he was already in Australia. He paddle boarded to the South Island of Australia.
He's a boat person.
All right, mine is Little Giants.
Okay.
The Little Giants win.
Good one, Hank. Good recovery, scrambles, my friend.
And he gets up and down.
Yeah. All right, that's the show. We have some good college football guests on Friday to get everyone ready for the first weekend of college football. Some nuggets for everyone. Going to get everyone, get their learn on. Mm-hmm. We're a show that will teach some people some things. And we're going to also go heal the Vikings tomorrow. We're still going to the practice facility. And we're going to just touch people on the forehead. We should touch people on the forehead and just be like, it'll be okay.
I really need Russell Wilson to ship me that concussion water, though. Like, yeah. Seriously, we need to help heal that. That's like holy water for football players.
Should we say what we're going to do?
No.
Are
you talking
about
with the fish? Yeah. No. I was talking about with the fish and the concussion water. We shouldn't say that?
No.
Okay, we won't.
Hey, young Metro, don't trust you. I'm gonna take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. And after
it's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.